We're going to start Proverbs 19 today as we continue our study through the book of Proverbs. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 11. Vamos a comenzar el estudio de Proverbios capítulo 19. Y ahora vamos a estar en los versículos 1 al 11 y darle gracias al Señor por su palabra santa. Salomón comienza a dirigirnos de los beneficios que trae la sabiduría bíblica. And so what Solomon is doing in chapter 19 of Proverbs, he's letting us know the benefits of biblical wisdom and what biblical wisdom brings to us. And so I want us to start with verses 1 through 3 of Proverbs 19. And let's study today's message called Some Benefits of Biblical Wisdom. Vamos a comenzar el estudio hoy de algunos beneficios de la sabiduría de Dios bíblica. Proverbs 19, 1 through 11, Proverbios 19, 1 al 11. Let's start with verses 1 through 3. Vamos a comenzar con los versículos 1 al 3. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Versículo 1. Mejor es el pobre que anda en su integridad que el de labios perversos y necio. Tampoco es bueno para una persona carecer de conocimiento y que se apresure con los pies peca. La insensatez del hombre pervierte su camino y su corazón se irrita contra el Señor. So the first point I want to give you in today's message is the wise man's paths are secured. El primer punto que les quiero dejar es que el camino del sabio está asegurado. Notice verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Mejor es el pobre, ¿verdad? Thank you. Appreciate that. Better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. En español, dice, mejor es el pobre que camina en integridad que el perverso de labios y fatuo. Ok, sobre la primera cosa, el necio, ¿verdad? Nos dice, y el primer punto que nos dice, da la palabra, que el camino del sabio está asegurado. What I mean by the men's paths are, the wise men's paths are secured, is one of the things that has to do with the translation originally in the Hebrew. Hay una de las cosas que son nuevas traducciones, ¿verdad? Que dicen en este verso que está mejor estar pobre y honesto que rico y necio. Right? In the original translations, the rendering of this means it is better to be poor and honest than rich and foolish. In other words, it's better to be honest and to retain your integrity, even though, right, it says here, it might lead to poverty. And this is important because a person of integrity is very essential to understanding biblical wisdom. The person understands that the wisdom they get from Scripture, they're using it to honor God with. La persona que está, ¿verdad?, lista, ¿verdad?, en estas traducciones, dice que es mejor ser honesto y retenga uno su integridad, dice, aunque lo lleve a la pobreza. Hay muchas veces que tenemos que hacer cosas que nos cuestan y no comprometernos tu fe. There's a lot of times we have to not compromise our faith, and it'll cost us sometimes. We have to do things, for example, when we work in the world, we cannot work the ways of the world. In other words, if I'm working for a company and they give me a contract, right, and I have this contract set for this price, there are people who will tempt you to cheat on that contract and say, look, You don't have to clean all these pieces of furniture. Just clean half and we'll split the other money, right? And we don't have to clean 1,000 pieces. You can just do 500 and we'll still build a company for 1,000. What it's saying there, when you're full of integrity, you're not going to do that. Why? Because you know you shame the name of the Lord if you're busted, right? And it's not worth that money. Think about it. When people are going through certain things in life, one of the things is we can never compromise our convictions. Once we're Christian, we're out there. And people see who we are. Cuando somos cristianos, ¿verdad? Nos miran y estamos allá afuera y no podemos negar quién somos. Y el testimonio es muy importante. Aunque nos haga más pobre, pierdes un contrato. Right, if you lose that contract, it doesn't matter. Because you're going to get one that God will bless you with. That's legit, right? And one of the things is when it is done unto the Lord with integrity, He blesses you. The things I was remembering here was this church of Smyrna. And he says to them, I know you're poor financially, but in reality, you're rich because you're walking with me. Cuando le está diciendo el Señor a la iglesia de Esmirna, le dice a la iglesia, yo sé que están pobres financialmente, pero en realidad están ricos porque están caminando conmigo. And that, isn't that the truth? As long as we walk in integrity, we're rich in Christ, not materially necessarily, but we're rich because we have the presence of God within us to guide us in all of life situations. Estamos ricos nosotros en toda situación. Vamos a Apocalipsis 2, 8 y 9. Let's go to Revelation 2, 8 and 9, when the Lord spoke to the church of Smyrna. Vamos ahí, en versículos 8 y 9, a la iglesia de Esmirna. And he says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life says this, Jesus, right? I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Y escribe el ángel de la iglesia de Esmirna, el primero y el último, el que estuvo muerto y ha vuelto a la vida, dice esto. Yo conozco tu tribulación y pobreza, pero tú eres rico, y la blasfemia de los que dicen ser judíos y no lo son, sino que son sinagoga de Satanás. So, el Señor sabe cuando estamos sufriendo. El Señor sabe nuestras tribulaciones y pobreza. Pero cuando caminamos en integridad, lo glorificamos. See, the Lord knows our tribulation. He knows our poorness, even sometimes in spirit. But He knows exactly what we need even before we speak it. So as long as we walk in integrity, our paths are secured. Cuando caminamos con el Señor, nuestras sendas están aseguradas. Look at the contrast, though, with the church of Laodicea. Miren el contraste con la iglesia de Laodicea en Apocalipsis 3, 14 al 18. Let's go to Revelation 3, verses 14 to 18. And look at the contrast with the church of Laodicea. Says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. The beginning of the creation of God says this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy. And you have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by the fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Y al escriba del ángel de la iglesia en Laodicea, el amén, el testigo fiel y el verdadero, el principio de la creación de Dios, dijo esto, o dice esto. Yo conozco tus obras, que ni eres frío ni caliente. Ojalá que fueras frío o caliente. Así puesto que eres tibio y no frío ni caliente, te vomitaré de mi boca. Porque dices, soy rico, me han enriquecido y de nada tengo necesidad. Y no sabes que eres un miserable, un digno de lástima, un pobre, ciego y desnudo. Te aconsejo que de mí compres oro refinado por fuego para que te hagas rico, y vestiduras blancas para que te vistas y no te manifieste la vergüenza de tu desnudez, y colirio para que unjes tus ojos para que puedas ver. So one of the things that he contrasts here with the church in Laodicea. Look, you have monetary blessings. From the eye solvent you sell. It was famous for the eye solvent, the oil that it would use, and it would cure many of the people's eyes back in those days. Les dice el Señor, son ricos, ¿verdad? Y en ese tiempo hacían una aceite que ungían los ojos con, y muchas veces restauraba la vista de gente. Entonces dicen, han hecho dinero, ¿verdad? Pero espiritualmente tan tibios. But he says, spiritually, you're lukewarm, right? The wealthy person who got his wealth with dishonesty, in this verse, right? One of the things, he might enjoy it for a season. But it, when it comes to the day of judgment before the Lord, he's not going to enjoy any of that because he will be held accountable before God. So he says, why don't you just get the best riches you can get? I'm your treasure, and I will take care of you. So don't get caught up in working so much that to the bone that you forget. My time with God is more important first, and then the blessings come. Primero es de darle gracias al Señor, ¿verdad? Pasar tiempo con Él, y luego Él te va a cuidar. Pero una persona cuando gana riquezas deshonestamente, nomás la va a gozar, ¿verdad? Por un tiempo apropiado, pero ya después se acaba. Pero tu relación con Dios, acuérdate que has sido lavado con la sangre del Cordero. Remember, in your relationship with God, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? And so one of the things is, you have been adopted into God's family. Has sido adoptado a la familia de Dios, ¿verdad? Y Él va a ser el que te suple día tras día. Y te vas a querer quedar maravillado o maravillada de que te suple todo lo que necesitas. Nunca te va a dejar mendigando ni pidiendo por pan. See, God will always take care of you day in and day out because you're His child. So whatever you need, God will provide. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Señor dice en San Mateo 6:11, danos este día, este pan nuestro de cada día. Entonces es importante. Look at verse 2. Miren el versículo 2 of Proverbs 19. Proverbios 19:2. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. Versículo 2. Tampoco es bueno para una persona carecer de conocimiento, y el que se apresura con los pies peca. Interesante. Cuando miras este versículo, muchos de los problemas que tenemos que no aprendemos a esperar en el Señor. When you see this verse, one of the biggest problems humanity has is to learn how to wait upon the Lord when they're His children. One of the things you'll have to remember is that we're always in a hurry, right? Because of our schedules, what we're doing, and we need to slow down. Todo el tiempo estamos apresurados. Y todo el tiempo andamos corriendo, dice el Señor, calmado venado, ¿verdad? No seas tan acelerado. No te vayas muy adelante, sino que toma tu tiempo. Hay tranquilidad, ¿verdad? Y calma cuando nos movemos lentamente. See, there's tranquility, there's peace when we move calmly. And one of the things is impatient, though, what does it do? It always leads us to commit sin. Cuando estamos impacientes, todo el tiempo nos causa de pecar. Me acuerdo de Josué, cuando en capítulo 9 venían los de Gibeón contra ellos, y luego él se aceleró porque le mintieron que cómo se vestían, que eran vecinos, pero no eran, y le tenían miedo porque los iba a destruir. Eso, vinieron con pan viejo, sandalias gastadas, y pusieron un frente muy bonito para Josué, y no consultó con Dios. Y entonces hizo un trato con ellos de no matarlos, pero eran enemigos de Dios. See, one of the things that I saw in this message was when Joshua didn't wait on the Lord. And one of the things that he did, he made a treaty with the Gibeonites. And what he did, because they came to him, he knew he was going to go over and conquer them eventually. They said, let's pretend we're part of them, or that we're just neighbors. And so they dressed up to be poor, like they were coming from all over the nation, right, and coming from all places. And then they appeared to be having bread that was old and brittle. They had sandals that were worn. They came with the whole 9 yards of a presentation, and Joshua believed them. And because they didn't want to die, right, they made up this lie, and Joshua didn't consult the Lord. So guess what happens when you don't consult the Lord and you take things into your own hands? You will sin against God. And one of the things, this caused a lot of pain for Israel. Estas eran las cosas que causó mucho dolor para Israel. Let's go to Joshua 9, verses 1 through 15. Vamos a Josué capítulo 9, versículos 1 al 15, para mirar lo que pasó, ¿verdad? Aquí. Let's go to verses 1 through 15 of chapter 9, and let's look at what happened with the Gibeonites and how Joshua reacted impatiently. Now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Termite, I'm just kidding, I made that up, the Hivite and the Jebusite heard of it, that they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua, what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, right, they also acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn out sacks on their donkeys, wineskins worn out, torn and mended, and worn out and patched sandals on their feet, and worn out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far off country. Remember, these were people that were neighbors. They were coming from a far country. Now therefore, make a covenant with us. The men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you are living within your land. How then shall we make a covenant with you? But they said, we are your servants. In other words, we'll be under you. Then Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? They said to him, your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions in your hand for the journey, and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants, now then make a covenant with us. In other words, don't kill us. This our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and it has become crumbled. These wineskins which we filled were new, and behold, they are torn. And these, our clothes and our sandals, are worn out because of the very long journey. So the man of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask the counsel of the Lord. That's the key. Did not ask the counsel of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, made a covenant with them, and so let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. Y aconteció que cuando se entraron todos los reyes que estaban al otro lado del Jordán, en los montes, en los valles y en toda la costa del mar grande hacia el Líbano, los reyes de los eteos, amoreos, cananeos, pereceos, jebeos, y jebuseos, a una se reunieron y se pusieron de acuerdo para pelear contra Josué y contra Israel. Cuando los habitantes de Gabaón se enteraron de lo que Josué había hecho a Jericó y a Jai, ellos también usaron de astucia y fueron como embajadores. Llevaron alforjas viejas sobre sus asnos y odres de vino viejos, rotos y remendados, y sandalias gastadas y remendadas en sus pies, y vestidos viejos sobre sí. Y todo el pan de su provisión estaba seco y desmenudazo. Vinieron a Josué al campamento en Gilgal y le dijeron a él y a los hombres de Israel: hemos venido de un país lejano a hacer pues pacto con nosotros. Y los hombres de Israel dijeron a los jebeos: quizá habitáis en nuestra tierra, ¿cómo pues haremos pacto con vosotros? Respondieron ellos a Josué: somos tus siervos. Y Josué les dijo: ¿quiénes soy y de dónde vienes? Y le dijeron: tus siervos han venido de un país muy lejano a causa de la fama del Señor tu Dios, porque hemos oído hablar de él y de todo lo que hizo en Egipto, y de todo lo que hizo a los dos reyes y de los amoreos que estaban al otro lado del Jordán, a Sejón, rey de Hesbón, y a Og, rey de Basán, que estaba en Astarot. Y nosotros, nuestros ancianos y todos los habitantes de nuestro país nos hablaron diciendo: tomad provisiones en vuestra mano para el camino, ir a su encuentro y decirles: somos vuestros siervos, hacer pues pacto con nosotros. Este nuestro pan estaba caliente cuando lo sacamos de nuestras casas para provisión el día que salimos para venir a vosotros, pero he aquí, ahora está seco y desmenuzado. Estos odres de vino que llevamos eran nuevos y aquí están rotos, y están vestidos nuestros y nuestras sandalias están gastados a causa de lo muy largo del camino. Y los hombres de Israel tomaron de sus provisiones y no pidieron el consejo del Señor. Josué hizo paz en ellos y celebró pacto con ellos para conservarles la vida. También los jefes de la congregación se lo juraron. Okay, so look at the mistake that Joshua made. This was going to be a thorn in their sides. They were going to make them workers afterwards when he found out they were lying to him. So he says, let's give them hard labor. Aquí Josué, cuando se dio cuenta, dice, les vamos a dar labor duro porque nos mintieron, ¿verdad? Y esa es una de las cosas que pasan en nuestra vida cuando no esperamos en el Señor y hacemos decisiones solos, en vez de ir y buscar, Señor, es tu voluntad o no. See, many times, because we're impatient, we go and do our thing instead of waiting, praying and asking the Lord, is this your will or not? Do I go forward or do I not? God will minister to you. And many times, he makes you wait to make sure you take him into account. Okay, so be careful when you make decisions. Always take them to the Lord. Todo el tiempo llévaselos al Señor. Look at verse 3. Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolishness of a man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. La insensatez del hombre pervierte su camino, y su corazón se irrita contra el Señor. Okay, a foolish person doesn't listen to the Lord. Okay, they don't seek the Lord, they don't want to walk with the Lord. Una persona necia no le hace caso al Señor, no lo escucha, no lo busca, ¿verdad? Y no quiere caminar con él. And then when he ends up in trouble, he has the gall to say and blame God for it. El necio, ¿verdad? Cuando no le salen las cosas bien, ¿verdad? Después de hacer su propia voluntad, tiene, ¿verdad? La valentía de decir, estoy enojado con Dios, ¿por qué me hizo esto? ¿Verdad? Esos son los necios. Right? And it's true that a fool is foolish because they are twisted, they're crooked. Un necio está torcido, ¿verdad? Chueco. Yet, it's also true that the foolish man finds his way more twisted. Entre más el necio sigue adelante, más se tuerce su camino. See, foolishness leads to twistedness. La necedad te lleva a ser torcido, ¿verdad? Y muchas veces por los policías. Y esa es una de las cosas que el necio hace. Now, the fool will not accept his error. El necio no va a aceptar su error. Entonces una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Le echa la culpa a Dios. Y en eso que hace es locura. See, when a fool blames God, that's even something that's crazier than anything else. Because, first of all, you don't believe in God. And all of a sudden, nothing works. Well, it's because it's a God who's not full of mercy. He's not full of love. He's not full of kindness. And so they try to blame God for something he didn't do. ¿Verdad? Una de las cosas que el necio le quiere echar la culpa a Dios por algo, pero no era Dios el que hizo, él hizo la decisión propia. And one of the things, the fool made his proper bed and he's got a lie in it. In other words, accept responsibility. That's what pride does in a fool. He has a proud spirit. Eso es lo que hace el orgullo en un necio. Tiene un espíritu orgulloso, ¿verdad? And so, the criminal, when he's sentenced, he blames the judge. Así el criminal le echa la culpa al juez cuando le pone su sentencia. Es locura. Él hizo el crimen, él lo tiene que aceptar. Y en este mundo que vivimos ahorita, ¿verdad? Así tratan a los criminales, no les hacen nada. Y los criminales no aceptan que hicieron mal. Que dicen, lo bueno es malo y lo malo es bueno. Right? In today's world, when there is a crime committed, that person should be held responsible. And in this crazy world that calls evil good and good evil, that person doesn't understand that he's the one who committed the crime, and this government is making it easier for them to do those crimes without being held accountable. It's a crazy thing, but that's the way fools work. So, remember, our first point. The wise men's paths are secured. You don't have to worry. As long as you keep walking with God, He will secure your paths and lead you to safety. Okay? El primer punto. El camino del sabio está asegurado. Entre sigas obedeciendo la palabra de Dios, sometiéndote a su voluntad, Dios te va a hacer tus sendas seguras. Okay? Point number two. The wise poor man's friends are few. Okay? The wise poor man's friends are few. Los amigos del pobre sabios son pocos. Now I want you to understand this point because it's very crucial. You don't have to have a lot of friends in your life. You just have to have real friends in your life. En tu vida no tienes que tener muchos amigos, tienes que tener buenos amigos, ¿verdad? Entonces, eso es lo que te está diciendo aquí la escritura. Dice aquí que la riqueza hace muchos amigos porque cuando está el hombre perdido en las barras, ¿qué hace? Le compra tragos a todos y dicen, miren, aquí les compro a todos. Tiene muchos amigos, pero son artificiales. No son hombres que van a pasar por la guerra contigo o en los tiempos duros. See, when in the world, when there's a person buying the drinks at the bar, right? All these people, yeah, he's my friend. I love this guy. You know, as long as he has money to buy. And the thing is, though, those are not friends that are deep friends or sincere friends. They're false friends, and they're very superficial. You'll find that out. My dad used to tell me, you can count your good friends on one hand. Mi papá me decía, puedes contar tus buenos amigos en una mano. And this is amazing, right? Because you understand that. When you have real friends, one of the things that you see is that what kind of friend you have. Una de las cosas que vas a mirar, ¿qué clase de amigo tienes? Now, when you go through hard times, more people distance themselves. And you have to understand, that's not true love. True love will always be there for you. But they'll also correct you because they love you. Hay gente, ¿verdad?, que también se van a hacerte alejados de ti, pero tú tienes que entender, si es buen amigo, se aleja, pero se viene para atrás. Y luego también cuando hay tiempos de corrección, también te da corrección porque te ama. Pero no te van a voltear la espalda completamente. There's not going to be a time when they turn their back on you completely. This is what the Lord teaches us in Romans 8, verses 35 to 39. Vamos a Romanos 8, versículos 35 al 39. When you get into problems, you have a lot of people, but once you're busted, they'll run away. If you have bad company, bad friends, it'll show up. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep led to the slaughter. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have one good friend in this world, one true friend, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from his love, and he will never turn his back on you, as long as you keep walking with him faithfully. ¿Quién nos separará del amor de Cristo? ¿Tribulación, angustia, o persecución, o hambre, o desnudez, o peligro, o espada? Tal como está escrito, por causa tuyo somos puestos a muerte todo el día, somos considerados como ovejas para el matadero. Pero en todas estas cosas somos más que vencedores por medio de aquel que nos amó, Cristo. Porque estoy convencido de que ni la muerte, ni la vida, ni los ángeles, ni principados, ni lo presente, ni porvenir, ni los poderes, ni lo alto, ni lo profundo, ni ninguna otra cosa creada nos podrá separar del amor de Dios, que es en Cristo Jesús, Señor nuestro. So, tu único amigo fiel que nunca te va a fallar es Cristo. So, no pongas tus ojos en los hombres. Do not put your eyes and your faith on men. They will let you down. But you have one true friend that will never desert you. Okay, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. El testigo falso no quedará sin castigo, y el que cuenta mentiras no escapará. In the original text, this verse is a command where it says, no liar, right? No false witness shall go unpunished. It was a command. This was something they had to do in the Hebrew culture. Aquí en la cultura hebrea, en el original texto, dice que aquí, ¿verdad? Cuando dice que el falso testigo no quedará sin castigo, era un mandamiento, era una orden, un mandato, ¿verdad? And so, we're not allowed to partake of false statements to go unpunished. In other words, we have to correct even our children. You know how we have a tendency to have some children that are liars, they're good manipulators? We do not allow that. We have to stop it and nip it in the bud. Ya sabe, como algunos tenemos niños y hijos y hijas que son mentirosos. No podemos permitirlos. Se tienen que corregir. Y esa es una de las cosas más duras, ¿verdad? Porque tú sabes lo que tienes en tus hijos. You know what you have in your children. And one of the things that is, that when we notice this, we have to tell them, don't be doing that. Why? God's going to correct you, and he will deal with you more harshly than mom and I will deal with you. No anden de mentiroso, les dices a tus hijos, porque Dios te va a corregir. Aquí lo dice. Entonces, ¿verdad? Arrepiéntanse y cambien sus modos y aprendan disciplinarse en la verdad. And this is what we teach our children. Discipline them to tell the truth at an early age, and you're going to bless them for the rest of their life. They will not get in trouble like that. Si son hijos y hijas que dicen la verdad, ¿verdad? No vaya usted a mirar al otro lado cuando están diciendo mentiras y si ya me cansó este, ya no, ya otra mentira y me doy. No, siga en él y en ella, porque tiene que uno hacerlo, porque Dios dijo, es una orden, que no andes tú dejando que tus hijos anden mintiendo sin corregirlos. Okay, we cannot let our children go uncorrected. Why? Because if they continue, their speech will never change. And once you hold them accountable for lies, their speech will eventually change for the better. And they'll make an impact in the lives of others. Aquí nos dice, ¿verdad? Porque una de las cosas que cuando mientes afecta tu hablar. Y lo que pasa, si eres un mentiroso, más y más te comienzas a mentir y te meten más problemas. Por eso dice el Señor, corrígelos ya, para que cuando ya crezcan más viejos, no anden en esos caminos de mentira, porque van a pagar un precio muy grande. It's a proverb here that's very important because it's based on a court of law here in the Hebrew culture. Estos versículos son muy importantes porque se tratan en un tribunal, un corte, ¿verdad? Y es donde dice aquí, ¿verdad? Que los testigos falsos se tienen que castigar. False witnesses have to be punished. Why? They destroy lives. Los testigos falsos también destruyen vidas. Por eso se tienen que corregir. ¿Y saben qué? Dios le ama la verdad. God loves the truth. And this is who he is, the truth. So he's programming us to say the truth from the very beginning. Tenemos que decir la verdad desde el principio. And so I understand one of the things that God tells us is those who speak lies will not escape. Los que platican mentira no se van a escapar. Remember, Jesus said, every word that we speak will be held accountable. Todas las palabras que hablamos, Él nos va a tener en cuenta. Let's go to Matthew 12:36. San Mateo 12:36. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Y os digo que toda palabra vana que hablen los hombres darán cuenta de ella en el día de qué? Juicio. Eso es muy importante, ¿verdad? Look at verse 6 of Proverbs 19. Proverbios 19, versículo 6. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. Muchos buscan el favor del generoso, y todo hombre es amigo del que da. Okay, now, this verse, both biblically and innately, right, we know that we are to love people and use things. Right? Aquí nos dice bíblicamente, ¿verdad?, que si te, que nosotros debemos llamar a gente, ¿verdad?, y usar cosas. Pero prácticamente, ¿qué hace el hombre? Tiene una tendencia de usar a gente, ¿verdad? And see, biblically, a lot of people have a tendency, well, non-biblically, people have a tendency to hang around with those who want to advance their careers, who want to bless them, right, with better positions, and they'll compromise their faith for it. Hay mucha gente que va a comprometer su fe porque esta persona les puede dar un mejor puesto, una mejor posición y comprometen sus convicciones con el Señor. Pero acuérdense, nosotros al contrario, debemos de darle al que no tiene. On the contrary, we have to give people who don't have. Not look just for people who have. Tenemos que buscar con gente que está en necesidad. We have to look for people in necessity to be able to help them. Okay? And this is what we do. Luke 14, 13 and 14. San Lucas 14, versículos 13 y 14. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Isn't that wonderful? You see it into lives that are in need. Antes bien, cuando ofrezcas un banquete, llama a los pobres, a los mancos, a los cojos, ciegos, y serás bienaventurado, ya que ellos no tienen para recompensarte, pues tú serás recompensado en la resurrección de los justos. So think about what you're doing. When you help someone who's in need, don't publicize it. Don't do photo ops, because God's going to bless you more on the day when you come before Him face to face. Entre todo lo hacemos para el Señor. Y es bonito, ¿verdad? Y a veces, ¿verdad?, quieren tomar retratos del grupo que fue a ayudar. Es bonito también. Pero no se les olvide que cuando lo hacemos unánimes para el Señor, trae más bendición. See, the more we do things under the radar, the more blessing God will give us in heaven. Just be careful how you move. And that's why Jesus is so remarkable, right? When he came on earth, who did he come to serve? All the social outcasts. Cuando vino Jesús a la tierra, ¿quién vino a ayudar? A toda la gente que socialmente no era nada. Él estaba allí con ellos, con los que no tenían valor según la sociedad, pero se derramó con amor ahí y lo seguían porque miraban que el amor era sincero. See, Jesus did the same thing with the poor. And they saw the love that he had for them, and they followed him in flocks and multitudes, because that was the way he was. He chose to hang out with what the world called bad, and people who weren't socially acceptable. Jesús escogió ser un buen amigo para los que socialmente no los querían. Qué bonito, ¿eh? Es el Señor. Now let's go to the next verse. Verse 7, and this will finish our first point. Versículo 7 del Proverbios 19. All the brothers of the poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. Todos los hermanos del pobre lo aborrecen, cuanto más sus amigos se alejarán de él. Los persigue con palabras, pero ellos se han ido. Now this is the poor man, right? Many times the poor man won't even have his brothers listen to him. Muchas veces el hombre pobre no tiene ni hermanos que lo quieren oír, ni le regresan sus llamadas. They won't even return his calls. And one of the things is, this is an indication of where we're at. Whose phone calls would Jesus return? He didn't have a phone back then. So how did he do it? He just went up to the people in need. And he was around them. En esos tiempos Jesús no tenía teléfono, él ya sabía quién estaba en necesidad, ¿verdad? Pero al hombre pobre, dice, hasta sus hermanos lo odian. Didn't they hate Jesus before he established his ministry? His own brother said, "You're not who you say you are." Los hermanos de Jesús también dijeron, "Tú no eres el que dices que eres." Y muchos lo dejaron de primero. See, but Jesus is our pattern. Jesús es nuestro patrón y lo que tenemos que acordarnos. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corintios 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become what? Rich. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he did for us on the cross. Porque conoció es la gracia de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, que siendo rico, sin embargo, por amor a vosotros, se hizo pobre, para que vosotros, por medio de su pobreza, llegarais a ser ricos. Cristo se murió en nuestro lugar para darnos esa vida nueva, ¿verdad? Llena de riqueza. Se acercó a nosotros y nos dio, ¿verdad? Nos transferó, perdón, de pobreza a riqueza en todo lo que nos ofrece. And then Jesus came near to us in our poverty and he transferred us into the kingdom as his children. We're blessed now. Never forget that as a Christian. You're always blessed. Doesn't matter what, how hard life gets. God is always blessing you. Small things, big things, it doesn't matter, but he's always there. And when you take into account, right, and you start meditating on how good he's been in your life, full of trials, full of tribulation, you understand he's not going to leave you alone, especially in times when you're even spiritually poor, where you're like not even close to him right now because the battles have gotten you, not opening your Bible anymore, not reading. He says, even if you become that poor spiritually, I will never leave you. ¿Verdad? Es muy importante entender eso. También en tiempos de pobreza espiritual, Dios nunca te va a dejar. A veces nos afocan las luchas y las pruebas y hasta ni abrimos las Biblias porque andamos tan cansados. Dice, Señor, acuérdate, ahí estoy en medio de la tormenta contigo. No te voy a dejar y no te voy a desamparar. Y es bonito. ¿Ok? So, el Señor busca a los pobres y a los necesitados. God looks for the poor and the needy. So, point number one. Biblical wisdom makes sure the wise man's faith is secured. La sabiduría bíblica asegura que los caminos del sabio está asegurado. Okay, so their paths are secured. Point number two, biblical wisdom makes sure the wise poor man's friends are few. You're only going to have a few good friends, but that's all you need. La sabiduría bíblica asegura que los amigos del pobre sabios son pocos, pero no necesitas muchos, nomás los que son fieles. And then the last point I want to leave you with today. Biblical wisdom makes sure your soul is fed spiritually. La sabiduría bíblica asegura que tu alma se alimenta espiritualmente. Okay, vamos a los versículos 8 al 11 ya para terminar. Let's go to verses 8 to 11 and we'll get ready to close our message for today. Verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. El que adquiere a cordura ama su alma. El que guarda la prudencia hallará el bien. El testigo falso no quedará sin castigo. Y el que cuenta mentiras perecerá. Al necio no conviene la vida de lujo, muchos menos a un siervo gobernar los príncipes. La discreción del pobre le hace lento para la ira y su gloria es pasar por alto una ofensa. Okay, so let's look at our last point. See, biblical wisdom feeds your spiritual soul, right? And one of the things is that it feeds it every time you get close in the Word of God. La sabiduría bíblica asegura, ¿verdad?, que vas a comer y vas a tener alimento a tu salud. Y so una cosa que nos dice aquí, ¿verdad?, cuidado cuando buscas la sabiduría. Tienes que agarrar entendimiento con ella. See, remember that when you seek wisdom, you have to also get understanding. You can seek for wisdom, but it's only when you apply God's Word to your life that it becomes understanding. Solamente la sabiduría se hace comprensión, ¿verdad? Cuando la aplicas a tu vida. Si tú piensas que nomás oír y escuchar la palabra, ¿verdad? O la puedes enseñar, pero no la obedeces, ¿verdad? Es en vano lo que lo estás haciendo. Right? When you're studying the Word of God and you're hearing and agreeing and even being a teacher of the Word, the way it becomes understanding is you apply it. That's the difference. There's a lot of people who hear the Word, but they don't apply it. Hay muchos oyedores de la palabra, pero no hacedores. Entonces es muy importante que nosotros, para agarrar y que entender, ¿verdad? La palabra que usa aquí, ¿verdad? De usar lo que nos dice el Señor, de poder entender la inteligencia para poder aplicar la palabra a nuestras vidas. So we have to be able to understand how to be able to come to the Lord, apply the word so that we attain understanding, so our lives change. Understanding is what changes your life. Cuando entiendes la palabra y la aplicas, es lo que cambia tu vida. James made it very clear. There's a lot of listeners, but very few doers of the word of God. ¿Verdad? Santiago dijo, hay muchos oyedores, pero muy pocos hacedores de la palabra. Let's go to James 1, verses 23 to 25. James 1, 23 to 25, Santiago 1, 23 al 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at a natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. How many believe that? Porque si alguno es oyedor de la palabra y no hacedor, es semejante a un hombre que mira su rostro natural en un espejo. Pues después de mirarse a sí mismo y irse, inmediatamente se olvida de qué clase de persona es. Pero el que mira atentamente a la ley perfecta, la palabra cuando te revela lo que tienes en el espejo, la ley de la libertad y permanece en ella, no habiéndose vuelto un oyedor olvidacido, sino un hacedor eficaz, este será bienaventurado en lo que hace. See, what can happen is, as the Word of God reveals, it's that mirror, your imperfections. One of the things the Bible says, don't forget what you looked at that revealed those imperfections. Don't be like a person who saw those imperfections, walks away from the mirror, and forgets the kind of person they are. Because that's the only way the Bible changes you. When he shows you your sin, when he shows you your shortcomings, and you look at it, and you don't forget what you saw in that mirror of the Word, when you leave that mirror, you're always examining yourself and saying, Lord, get this out of my life. There's many hearers of the Word, but a lot of them don't want to go through the surgery of the change it requires. That means you have to be obedient to what you see, and say, Lord, your will be done. And you change those things. And he says, once you do that, you're going to be a very blessed person. You know why? Because you're becoming more Christ-like. You're becoming more like Jesus. Entre más te acuerdas lo que miras en el espejo, y no se te olvida cuando sales de ese espejo, lo que tienes que hacer para ponerte bien con Dios, dice, vas a ser bienaventurado. La persona que se le olvida, dice, pues nomás un oyedor, no hizo nada con su vida para cambiarla. So it's important to change, okay, and become more Christ-like as we continue. He who gets wisdom loves his soul. That's why he says that. El que agarra sabiduría ama su alma, porque le está dando alimento. Because you're giving that food, nourishment, and you're taking care of your life. So remember, pursuing wisdom is great, but applying that wisdom to your life brings understanding. Seguir la sabiduría es bonito, pero cuando agarras comprensión de esa sabiduría, cambia tu vida. Look at verse 9. Versículo 9. A false witness will not go unpunished. He repeats this. Remember in verse 5. And he who tells lies will perish, because that's how important it is to the Lord that you grab that concept. El testigo falso no quedará sin castigo. Lo repite otra vez, porque en el versículo 5 nos enseñó la importancia. Aquí te lo pone doble, para que puedas instruir a tus hijos. Acuérdate que Salomón escribió esto para sus hijos. And this was Solomon's way of teaching his kids. So he brings it up the second time. La segunda vez se lo trae. Y el que cuenta mentiras perecerá. That's heavy, right? To repeat it twice. In the same chapter, he's saying, make sure you teach your kids to be honest at all times, to speak with truth. Dile a tus hijos con verdad que no se les olvide qué importante es, ¿verdad? Que aprendan a hablar con verdad. Revelation 21:8. Apocalipsis 21:8. Look at the group that is in here that will go to the lake of fire. Miren el grupo que está con la gente que se va a ir al lago de fuego. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Can you imagine the accountability? How heavy that is? He says, man, all liars. Pero los cobardes, los incrédulos, los abominables, asesinos, inmorales, hechiceros, idólatras, y todos los mentirosos tendrán su herencia en el lago que arde con fuego y azufre, que es la muerte segunda. Esos son los que van a ir al infierno, todos los mentirosos. Por eso nos dice doble el Señor, para que no se nos olvide. So, we don't want anyone to be part of the lake of fire or brimstone. We want them to be in heaven with us. It will wear us down. Remember, kids wear us down. But you got to keep teaching the principles of God the right way. Don't give up. One day there will be a spiritual breakthrough and you'll see it. Un día vas a mirar, ¿verdad? Si sigues tú persistente en enseñarle a tus hijos y hijas la verdad y que hablen en ella, va a traer mucho fruto a sus vidas. Va a haber un día de victoria. And then verses 10 and 11. And we'll close with this. Versículos 10 y 11. Y cerramos con esto. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Al necio no conviene la vida de lujo, mucho menos a un siervo gobernar a los príncipes. La discreción del hombre le hace lento para la ira, y su gloria es pasar por alto una ofensa. Now I want you to see this. Solomon spoke according to the wisdom of the natural man, which places great trust in nobility and family lineage and positions. So Solomon is saying, in the things of the world, a poor man can't run a country, right? Because he hasn't had the education, know the customs of the nation and all the things to run a certain way. There's always a way to lead a nation, and a person who's poor hasn't had that training. And this is what he's saying. Aquí nos dice Salomón, ¿verdad? De acuerdo al hombre natural que pone tantas énfasis en la posición, la nobilidad, ¿verdad? Lo real, el linaje real, que ponen a los reyes y a todos así en lugares altos. No puedes poner a un pobre gobernar una nación porque no sabe los costumbres, no sabe cómo guiar esa nación. Okay? And so this is one of the things that I want you to understand, that God's kingdom is the opposite. El reino de Dios es lo opuesto. Entre más te haces bajo, más te exalta. See, in the kingdom of God, the more you lower yourself, the more he exalts you. And this is the opposite of the world's way. When they have kings, right? When they have queens, all these other countries like Britain and all the other people that have positions of royalty. The Lord is saying, look, my kingdom is not like the worldly kingdoms. My kingdom is full of servants. Doesn't matter if it's the pastor all the way down. We're all servants of God. No le hace si es el pastor, ¿verdad? O los siervos, todos somos siervos trabajando unidos, ¿verdad? Y es una cosa muy bonita. Let's go to Matthew 20. 26. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. So vamos a San Mateo 20, versículo 26. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be what? Your servant. No ha de ser así entre vosotros, sino que el que quiera entre vosotros llegar a ser grande será vuestro servidor. There's a problem always in churches because people love positions. They love to have the nameplate that says usher or deacon or elder, and they forget to be servants. Right, even the pastor can forget to serve. And we're all servants working together in the church. ¿Verdad? Hay mucha gente que batalla en la iglesia porque les encantan los títulos. Tienen su placa que dice, ¿verdad? Ujier o anciano o diácono y caminan con el pecho para afuera. Y vale más que sepas quién soy. There's people who love the positions and they walk out with their chest. You better make sure you know who you're dealing with, man. We're all servants. Somos siervos todos, ¿verdad? Look at Matthew 23:11. Miren San Mateo 23:11. But the greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. Pero el mayor de vosotros será vuestro servidor. It's important to understand this. You know why? Because if you put a person who's not called in that position, they get full of power and pride and they start abusing that office. Have you seen that in churches? I have, tons of times. Yo he mirado eso en muchas iglesias. ¿Verdad? Se hinchan, se dan de poder, quieren ser los meros meros, ¿verdad? Tarzán, Unchained y todo. Y luego quieren estar ahí, que los miren. Dice el Señor, no, es lo opuesto para nosotros. Tú ponte a servir. Y tú enséñale al pueblo cuánto amas a Cristo. Y que tú haces todo lo que tus ovejas hacen también. Right, and we do the same things, even if we're pastors. We help the sheep do what they do, and there's nothing we would not do that we ask the sheep to do. That's why I love serving the Lord that way. Me encanta servir al Señor. Cuando estamos comiendo en festivales, los pastores son los últimos que comen, deben de hacer. Así nos entrenaron. When we're having meals and banquets and things like that, the pastors are always supposed to be the last. Why? Because they're tending the sheep. So it's important to understand these principles because it's a loving way to serve God and it's a beautiful way. Okay? We are slaves to the master. Somos esclavos para el maestro de maestros. Amen? And one of the things is you'll see that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 10, verses 5 to 7. When people cannot handle the position, chaos will occur. Cuando la persona no tiene el corazón del Señor y ser como siervo, va a haber mucho caos. Socialmente. See, there's a lot of social chaos when people are full of their own titles, right? And so it's very dangerous. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, like an arrow which goes forth from the ruler, remember, from the top. Folly is said in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. Hay un mal que se ha visto bajo el sol como error que procede del gobernante. La necedad colocada en muchos lugares elevados, mientras los ricos se sientan en lugares humildes. He visto siervos a caballo y príncipes caminando como siervos sobre la tierra. Lo que el Señor quiere que háganos, que seamos sus siervos, comienza de arriba. Sí, servanthood starts from the top in every church. And this is what he saw. He says, look, I see this, a proper time, when kings can be able to walk on their feet. Let the poor take the horse and I'll walk. ¿Verdad? Dejar, ¿verdad? Tiempos donde el rico deja el caballo y se lo da al pobre y yo camino. Lo que el Señor quiere enseñarnos, ¿verdad? Que como Salomón tenemos que estar llenos de sabiduría y mostrar el amor de nuestro Salvador. See, we're to display the love that we have for our Savior. But I want you to see something interesting here. He uses the word Passover, as in Egypt, here. ¿Verdad? Hay unas cosas que usa aquí, ¿verdad? Que quiere decir de la Pascua. And one of the things, when God's people were in bondage in Egypt, remember what he did with Pharaoh? He sent a series of plagues, right? To soften his heart. Lo que hizo aquí el Señor con el faraón, le mandó plagas para que se cambiara su corazón blandito. Right, the last one that he sent them was which one? The curse of the firstborn. ¿Se acuerdan que el último que le mandó de la plaga era de los primeros que iban a nacer, ¿verdad? En ese tiempo. ¿Y qué pasó cuando pasó el espíritu de muerte sobre esas casas? Mataron a los primer nacidos, ¿verdad? De egipcio. When that spirit of death crossed, remember those young babies that he intended to kill, right, that were Christian versus those that weren't or believers. One of the things that happened is they got the curse of the firstborn. Ellos recibieron la maldición de los primer nacidos. Now, when the spirit of death passed over, the death angel, he recognized the blood, remember? On the doorpost, upwards, sideways. Cuando pasó el espíritu de muerte, estaban sus casas llenas, ¿verdad? Con la sangre que los que creían en el Señor. El espíritu de muerte pasó sobre ellos, no los lastimó. Lo que pasó es que la sangre los protegió, apuntando a la sangre de Cristo en la cruz para nosotros. The thing that's beautiful about this is that the symbol of Christ, sorry, dying in our place at the cross is beautiful. So it's something when you see it, you and I, as wise people of Christ, right, his children, one of the things is that you have to understand the Spirit of God has gone over all our sin. And you and I are cleansed from all unrighteousness. And the beautiful part about that, don't forget that in other people. Whatever God calls clean, do not call unclean. Lo que el Señor dice limpio, no le digas sucio, ¿verdad? Porque así es la sangre, es lo que hace con nosotros, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que miramos aquí, que no es la posición que tú tienes ya en tu liderazgo, es la posición que tienes como siervo de Dios. Eres esclavo para Él. Y todo lo que haces es para Él y su gloria. I want you to understand, when we serve God, the blood of Christ covers us of all our sins. And the beautiful part is we learn to be servants of God. The spirit of death has already been defeated in our lives. El espíritu de muerte ya es vencido. So all we have to do is just remember as we continue to serve God, remember that we are getting fed spiritually continually, and that no matter what the enemy brings against us, they will never prosper against us. Lo que el enemigo traiga contra nosotros no va a prosperar. ¿Cuánto lo creen? Es bonito. Y so cuando servimos, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas que andamos en la iglesia, tenemos que recordarnos que Cristo murió por todos nosotros. When we're serving together, we have to remember Jesus died for all of us. So we can't have one people up here and everybody else down here. We all have to work together in the body of Christ. Todos tenemos que trabajar juntos porque estamos cubiertos con la misma sangre. So don't forget that in church. Never lose your servant's heart for serving. And we don't need titles. We don't need positions. We just do what we see. There's a need. We fill that need, all for the honor and glory of Christ. So as you serve, never lose that servant's heart. No pierdas el corazón de siervo. Esa es una persona sabia que sabe servir en el modo de Dios. Right? And that's one of the things. A wise person knows how to serve according to God's way, not the world's way. And so I remind you of that today. Okay, a wise man leads by example. Un hombre sabio guía por ejemplo. Amén.